Today's podcast session is supported by Upheal. So if you ask a therapist who's doing clinical work what the bane of their existence is, usually progress notes are in the top 1 to 2. I'm not naming any names, but when I was doing clinical work, I remember I had several colleagues who would get so backed up on clinical notes, so they would end up spending their nights and weekends trying just to catch up. Honestly, who wants to do that? And this is where Upheal comes in. Upheal is AI-powered case notes. Now, I know for many of us, when we hear the word AI, there's like a natural skepticism. And honestly, I had that skepticism as well until I got to meet with the Upheal team and learn about some of the many ways that they are doing this in a way that is HIPAA compliant and also doesn't sell data to anyone and also protects our clients as well. You can learn more about Upheal and the awesome work that they're doing in the world by going to sellingthecouch.com/Upheal. And Upheal is spelled U-P and then H-E-A-L, all one word. And at checkout, be sure to enter the promo code COUCH25, C-O-U-C-H, and the number 25 to get 25% off your Upheal plan for the first 2 months. Hey, what's up? Welcome to session 41 of the Selling the Couch podcast. Hope all is well on your end. Hope you're having a great week. So today's topic is actually all about mastermind groups. And today I'm going to be sharing 5 tips that have really helped and worked for me when it comes to forming a mastermind group. Now, if you've never heard of a mastermind group, it is a really powerful thing and a powerful strategy to employ for as a small business owner. Now, I actually came across a couple of different articles when I was researching for this podcast episode, and I found this really good one that was written by Stephanie Burns on Forbes, and this is how she defined mastermind groups. So she basically said that it's a group of smart people who meet weekly, monthly, or even daily, if it makes sense, to tackle the challenges and problems that they face in their small business together. They lean on each other, give advice, share connections, and do business with each other when appropriate. So in other words, a mastermind group is designed to help you navigate through the challenges using the collective intelligence of others. As clinicians, this is such a valuable skill because something like private practice can be so isolating, and it's a great way to form connections with others, all the while still being able to look at your business as a business and seeing the ways that it can grow and develop. If you actually think about it, most governments actually have some form of a mastermind group. For example, here in the US, the president relies on his or her cabinet, and that is what is known as it's a form of a mastermind group. I actually first learned about mastermind groups after reading Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he actually talked about Dale Carnegie. And Dale Carnegie actually had a group of friends and advisors that he would go to when thinking about how to expand his own business. Now, if I'm honest, when I think about the Selling the Couch blog, we're less than a year old, and I would say that there are 2 things that have been really instrumental in helping it to be where it is. The first, I think, is the support of family and friends, which that is something that, you know, I am so grateful for. The second, I would say, is the support of my mastermind group. So today, I actually wanted to just share 5 tips that have worked for me in terms of building a mastermind group, but also share some of the ways that it's helped me. The first tip that I would give you is to be really selective with who is in your mastermind group. You want people that are passionate about their businesses, but are also driven. They're self-starters. I read this quote one time, and I'm probably going to be butchering it right now, but it said something like, we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. And that quote really resonated for me when thinking about a mastermind group, because that is so true. If you surround yourself with people that are go-getters, that are driven, that are motivated, that are passionate about a certain topic, that level of passion is just going to be infectious, and it's really going to inspire. It's a great way to inspire one another. And I think, as I think about just mastermind groups in general, there's just something very powerful in seeing others succeeding and others taking risks and having that courage and that boldness to take an action or take a step that they otherwise wouldn't. And there's something amazing because it actually motivates us to start to take action. To be completely honest, you know, prior to launching the Selling the Couch podcast, I'm such a dreamer. I always have these things about what I want to do in the world and how I want to make a difference and what I want to do in business and what I want to do as a professional and all of those different things. But the other side of it is I'm kind of a scaredy cat. I like my stability. I like my routine. The thought of actually taking such a big risk, for example, like launching a podcast or even now just launching my first course, you know, those are things, honestly, I don't think I could have done on my own. And my mastermind group has been so instrumental in supporting me. And so what I would say is just with that general idea of a mastermind, you want to select about 3 to 5 people to be in your mastermind group, and you want to be highly selective. This is definitely a place to weed out people, because you do want to find people that are passionate and that are going to support you. The second tip that I would give is to be consistent with when your mastermind meets, and also be consistent with the agenda. So ideally, I have found in these past couple of months, I actually installed a mastermind group right when I started the Selling the Couch blog, which was earlier this year. And the thing that I have found helpful is to meet at least once a week, preferably on the same day and in the same hour. I think there's just something really nice and really powerful about routines, and I'm just a big believer in that. So my mastermind group is 4 of us. And so it is a fellow therapist. It is a friend that is a computer programmer, and he also has a graphic design background. And then it's another friend who has launched 4 successful brick and mortar stores. And so it's that combination. And I just love meeting with them and really enjoy my time with them. And it's given me such a different perspective on how to do business. And I feel like it's really helped me to account for some of my shortcomings. So when we first started meeting, this is the amazing thing about technology now, right? We don't actually have to be in the same place. We don't even have to be in the same city or anything like that. So my mastermind group, I have one person that's local. I have another person that is down in Texas. I have another person that's in California. And we meet over Skype weekly. And it's an amazing thing. Well, we started out on Skype, and now we've done phone conferences, which that's worked out really well. You know, another thing that I've found really helpful is, so, you know, typically you'll meet for about an hour once a week for your mastermind group. And the thing is, a lot of your work is really outside of that group. And so what I have found is having some sort of a texting app has been really helpful. So we use WhatsApp. GroupMe is another one that's really good. Or you can just use the texting feature on your phone. But the whole purpose of that is if you need any kind of encouragement throughout the week when your mastermind is in meeting, or if you have some kind of a question that comes up that you know one of your other masterminders could answer, or if you're having a stuck point, you can just send a quick text and get immediate feedback. And that has been so invaluable to me. That way you don't have to wait until your next mastermind meets. And then, you know, the next piece of that I would just say is have a set agenda of what each mastermind meeting will look like. So this is how ours is structured, and this is the general format that I've seen, but you can definitely be flexible with this as you figure out your mastermind group. So we have a start point, a midpoint, and an end point. So during that start point, each member of the mastermind group shares one or two things that they've done well or that they've succeeded in with their business in the past week. And then that's kind of the, and then we just do a kind of a quick check-in to see how things have been for each other. And then in the middle part of that, we have what's called the hot couch round or the hot seat round, where that is basically where one person who we've already figured out gets on the hot seat, and for the next 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes or so, they share one to two things that they're struggling with in their business. And then the rest of the time, each one of the other people gives honest and constructive feedback about what they would do and maybe some other ways to think about it. And it's just, it's such a small thing, but it is so powerful because, for example, with my mastermind group, right? Suppose that I'm on the hot seat and something is coming up with the blog that I'm struggling with, right? It's an amazing thing to be able to have a computer programmer that knows all stuff about websites and everything, that has a graphic design background, but it's also amazing to have a fellow therapist who can look at it from the perspective of another clinician. But it's also amazing to have a friend that's actually run a business and has run four of them successfully, because the reality is this is my first business, right? There's a lot of stuff I don't know. It's a lot of stuff I'm figuring out. And it's great to have someone like that who's been there and has gone on that journey before, and that can provide that sense of advice or tips or whatever that looks like. And then at the end of our mastermind group, what we basically do is we talk about one goal that we each have for the upcoming week, and then we talk about who's going to be on the hot seat in the next week, and then we just go from there. The third tip that I would give you is to select members from different professions, and I alluded to this earlier. Now, for us as clinicians, the easier thing to do is to pick other therapists because we're familiar with them, but I actually highly recommend to not do that, because I think sometimes what happens is we all as clinicians have a set way of doing things, and perhaps we have a set business perspective on how to approach things. And I think what can happen is if you get into a mastermind with folks that are in similar professions, you kind of have a similar mentality. And then you're likely to make certain decisions in sort of the same way. And sometimes that may not be the best thing. Sometimes it's really helpful to have someone that's in a completely different profession, that's not tied to you in any kind of way except through your mastermind, offer some sort of advice. Now, I do think it's okay to have like one other clinician, but ideally if you're going to have, for example, between 3 and 5 people, you might have one other clinician and then definitely up to three other people that are from different professions. You know, what I have found is that instead of thinking always in professions, think also more in skill sets. So what are the things that, you know, you have strengths as in your natural abilities, and then what are the things that you're not very good at? So for example, I know for me, I feel like graphic design, I feel like being able to think in processes and break things down into small steps, for me, like also thinking like long-term, really thinking about long-term vision, those are things that I'm really good at. I'm not really good at computer programming. I don't have any kind of a coding background. I'm pretty okay at WordPress. I'm not great at it. And so I know those are a couple of my shortcomings. I also know that I don't have a lot of business background. And so I know that some of these business lessons, these expected norms that someone that, you know, for example, that had an undergrad in business or finance, like I don't have those skills and I'm still learning them. So that's why it's really helpful for me to have a mastermind member that does have that experience. You know, just kind of related to this, a lot of times folks ask me, where do I find people on my mastermind group? So one, of course, is like communities of other therapists. If you're going to have one other therapist, then, you know, that's a great place to start. I know, like, for example, on this Selling Couch Facebook group, I know several people have connected with one another and have formed mastermind groups that way. One thing that I have found really helpful is to think about communities that I'm active in outside of my professional community. So for example, like my church community is something that has been really helpful for me because I've formed some great friendships through there, but I've also found that there's a lot of entrepreneurs in that group. And so that's been really helpful to connect that way. You know, another one also to think about is meetup.com. And so Meetup is basically a place where you can connect with people who have similar interests. And all you have to do is go to meetup.com and just search mastermind in your city. And usually if you are in a larger city, there's going to be some masterminds that are present there. And that's a great way to connect with others. So tip number four is select members at different stages of their business journey. I cannot stress this enough. You really want folks who are a little bit ahead of you in their business journey. You also want folks that are a little bit behind you in terms of in their business journey as well. The reason for this is because if you have someone that's a little ahead of you, you know, they know some of the struggles that you're probably going through, and they also know how they overcame those struggles. If you have someone that's behind you, it teaches you to always stay humble, but the other thing is it teaches you to also teach them, which I think also cements your role and cements your skills a lot better. The biggest thing for me is that, you know, having some folks that are a little bit ahead, a little bit behind, it allows you to really push yourself and expand and to think about your business in different ways that maybe you haven't thought about before. The one tip that I would definitely give is you don't want folks that are too far apart in their business journey. So either people that are just like maybe just starting, I mean, depending on where you are, or someone that's like really seasoned and really far ahead. The reason for that is because if you have either one of those scenarios, you'll either find yourself always like lagging, or you'll find that the person that's so far ahead, it's hard for them to take feedback. And then it's just a formula for the mastermind actually not working out. The final tip that I would give you is that the work of a mastermind really starts after each week session. So, you know, as I was saying at the end session with my mastermind, we always talk about a goal that we're going to accomplish. And if you're going to say that you're going to accomplish a goal, unless something unforeseen happens, like an emergency or something, but otherwise be consistent with your word, because the reality is a lot of big business goals, they don't happen overnight. They're really just a bunch of small goals that are put together to achieve a larger goal. So some of the things that we have found really helpful is we have a Google Doc that we all have access to each week, and we each have our own tab, and it's meant to really track our progress. Something that I found helpful is on my Google Doc, I have different columns. On one column, I basically have my weekly goal, the next column is a monthly goal, the next column is a quarterly goal, and the next column is a yearly goal. And then on the other side, I basically label it by date when we're meeting. And what I have found really helpful is when I think about my goals, I have taken a lot of the advice that Tony Woodall presented in session 34 of the podcast. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, it's all about goal setting, so definitely check that one out. But I have found it to be really helpful when I write down goals, not to just write down the goals, but to write down the why I'm doing them. How does that goal align with my values and what I want to do? So hope you enjoyed these tips on how to form a mastermind. I cannot stress this enough. If you're not in a mastermind and you're trying to do business, a mastermind will accelerate your business journey like no other. For example, you know, for me, because of my mastermind group, I've launched a blog, I've launched a podcast, and I've launched a course here in the span of less than 8 months. It's just, I guarantee I would not have done this if I had done this on my own, because I know myself and I know that I just have a lot of fears and insecurities. And I know that I would have, in many ways, I think I would have let the fears and the insecurities get in the way and I would have sabotaged myself. The most amazing thing when I think about my mastermind group is that it's helped me to build relationships and helped me to build connections with my own mastermind group. But the thing that's also helpful is these folks know people and are connected to people that otherwise I would have never known. And so it's a great way to be able to reach out and connect with people. And then the other final, like the big piece, is that it's helped me to tap into my strengths, but also account for my weakness. I think of my mastermind group, instead of just thinking me or us as individuals in it, I think of it as this collective force, right? Where we each have all of our strengths, and it's the cumulative effect of that force or that group that we have been able to succeed in our businesses. I have a couple of websites and a couple of additional tips. So if you want to check that out, you can find that on the show notes at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 41. Thank you so much for tuning in. We actually just wrapped up the pre-launch of the Healthcasters podcasting course and community. It's done really well. It's unbelievable. There were something like, I think when I last checked, it was something like 1,300 healthcare providers had been on the sales page, which is just amazing. Now, of course, it would be awesome if all of those folks converted, but I know that it's only a matter of time, because it just means that there's a demand for a podcasting community for the healthcare field. So if you are interested in that, feel free to check it out at sellingthecouch.com/thehealthcasters. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for all your support and for continuing to spread the news about the podcast. I am just so appreciative of you and for doing that. Take good care and have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop.